This is very out of my comfort zone by a long way. And I need your prayers because I'm very in the flesh, very weak. And somewhat fearful. And I have got some thoughts that the Lord gave me months ago, and the Lord's been dealing with me about it. And it's several parts. I don't think I'm going to get it all out today, but I feel like the Lord showed me that this was going to be a multi-part deal. And it's about the scripture in Habakkuk that says, "The just shall live by faith." And that's what I believe that the Lord wants us all to come to. Is where it's in Habakkuk 2 and 4. And that's not what I'm going to speak about this morning, but what I have on my heart this morning has to do with things that can hinder us from walking this way. I'd like to talk about envy this morning. Let's go to Proverbs 14 and verse 30. I really need your prayers this morning. It says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." The Bible is full of good stories about those that have lived a life of faith. Hebrews 11 is a wonderful chapter, and it talks about a lot of people that lived a life of faith. But also with those stories, there are other stories that we can say what might have been. And I want to look at a couple of those this morning. I'd like to talk about the Philistines. Not going to turn there, but the first mention we have of the Philistines is in the 20th chapter of Genesis, where Abraham went and sojourned. And Abraham went and lived there, and the king of the Philistines, his name was Abimelech. And Abimelech was a man that feared God. And we have the story there about how Abraham kept back part of the truth and told him that Sarah was his sister. And so Abimelech went and took Sarah, and the Lord came to him in a dream by night and said, "This is a man's wife. You can't do this." And Abimelech said, "Lord, will you slay a righteous nation?" And the Lord talked with him and said, "I know that in the integrity of your heart you took her." And so we know that there was one time that there were people among the Philistines that feared the Lord. They made a covenant with Abraham. They said, "We can see that the Lord is with you in all that you do." In the 21st chapter of Genesis, that's what they did. And they made a covenant with him that neither of them would hurt the other. And then we go one more generation. I'd like to turn to Genesis 26 and 12. It says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land." Isaac did the same thing his father did. He went and he sojourned among the Philistines. And it said the king was Abimelech. I don't know. Maybe it was Abimelech's son. It doesn't say. But it said, "Then Isaac sowed in that land, in the land of the Philistines, and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And this is sad. And in the 16th verse, Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." Now what happened here? This is another generation. The Philistines were, they were righteous people among them. I don't know if they were all that way, but Abimelech said, "Well, they'll slay a righteous nation." I believe there was a time where the Philistines were followers of God. The Lord talked with Abimelech, but down here, in here, they saw the blessings of the Lord. And they envied. And I want us to get a hold of what envy really is and what it does and how it can hinder a person in their life. Envy can be passed down from generation to generation. And we see a lot of times with things that are generational that if one person has a weakness, their children might have it stronger. And it increased with the Philistines. And instead of entreating the Lord for his blessing. See, envy is an assumption that the Lord didn't bless me like he blessed someone else. The Lord doesn't love me like he loves someone else. The Lord can't do for me what he did for someone else. And the Philistines told Isaac to go. And so he did after a while. And then we go on down and we read in 1 Samuel, in the 17th chapter, the Philistines never recovered from the envy that came because they saw the blessings of God and they walked away from it. They chose to go a different path. Goliath was a champion among the Philistines. By one calculation, he was almost 10 feet tall. And it said, and he stood in verse 8, of 1 Samuel 17, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and he said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." You know, I was reading the history. I got online and I was reading about the history of the Philistines as a people. And did you know there is almost nothing? There is almost nothing to prove that they existed. There are no historical achievements. There is no record of their writings. They had no... There was nothing that they did. They found one thing. They said that the Philistines were great producers of alcohol. And if you read about the Philistines time and time again, they spent all their time and all their resources trying to be a hornet or an affliction to the Israelites. They were just trying to hurt them and trying to sting them, and they would go and they would just torment them relentlessly. They spent so much time just trying, and that's what envy does. That envy doesn't want someone else to have anything better than what they have. They're willing to... Envy makes a person... It says envy is the rottenness of the bones. I read about the Philistines. You know, they lived right next door to the Israelites. They lived in a very good land. They uncovered a mass grave of the Philistines a few years ago. Archaeologists did, found 227 Philistines. Of the Philistines. It wasn't a battle, it was just a graveyard. And they said that they were very short in stature. And they said they suffered from malnutrition. They lived in Canaan. They lived right next door to the Israelites who lived in the land that the Lord blessed them with. The great inheritance, the land that flowed with milk and honey. They spent so much time trying to undermine the blessings of God in the Israelites' life that it literally rotted them. They didn't have any great achievements. They don't have any great record of history. And they spent so much time trying to undermine the blessings of God on Israel that they suffered greatly. And let's go to Ezekiel 25 and 15. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with a despiteful heart to destroy it for the old hatred. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out my hand upon the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethims, and destroy the remnant of the sea coast, and I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall lay my vengeance upon them." You ever look at that and think what might have been? Story of Goliath. Think about a people that's inferior in every way. They were inferior in stature. They were malnourished. They spent all their time trying to cause trouble. Then they come along with a guy that maybe he had something wrong with him. I don't know what caused him to grow so big, but he grew tall, and they thought, all right, now we have something that's better than them. We've got this champion. We've got this guy. He went out there. They weren't even trying to conquer the Israelites as far as destroying them. They wanted to prove that they were better. They wanted to prove that they had something that the Israelites didn't. They took their ark and they set Goliath out there, and oh, now we've got a champion here. Come on, you pick any of your men, anybody in the Israelite camp, come and fight our champion. And we'll see which one kills the other. If our champion kills your champion, that means that our country is better than yours, and you get to be our servants. Doesn't that sound like it comes from a spiteful heart? And I think about the archaeological remains of the Philistines. You know, it is possible to live, to be right next to someone that receives the blessings of the Lord and be spiritually very small in stature because of envy. You can sit in the same services. You can sit under the same preaching. And it can all pass you by because you're worried about somebody getting a bigger blessing than you. The truth is that the Lord is no respecter of persons. He has blessings for all of us. He has strength and grace and victory for all of us. There aren't any of us that the Lord wants to short those things. I want to read about another person here. Let's go to the fourth chapter of Genesis and talk about Cain, the third verse. "And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, He also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall his be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. There were two offerings. Cain evidently knew that something was not right with the offering he brought. God said, If you do well, won't you be accepted? Shall you not be accepted? It was a given. It was a question that didn't need an answer. But Cain envied Abel because Abel got the blessing. Abel got the blessing from God. The fire fell on his offering. And that envy rankled and stirred within his heart until he went and he killed his brother. He had the same opportunity to receive the same blessings that Abel did. But he wanted to do it his way. The scripture, we won't turn to it, but it says, Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? I want to read another story in 1 Samuel 18. This is another one where I look at it and say, what might have been? Saul was the very first king of Israel. He had great potential. He was a big, strong man. He was a capable man. He was a good, from all appearances, he was good to his family. He was a very intelligent man. He was a very gifted, capable man. And then, but he had one fault. Several faults, actually. He didn't trust God. And this is where I'm wanting to go this morning. He didn't trust God. He couldn't wait. He trusted more in his own ability, his own wisdom, his own capability for making decisions. And in the matter of the Amalekites, the Lord told him to destroy them all. And he didn't. And the Lord, he had several things that the Lord was displeased with him about. The Lord rejected him ultimately. I think about the time where Samuel was going to come and offer an offering for him. And he couldn't wait. He offered it himself. He couldn't wait because the Philistines were about to get him. And he couldn't wait for the man of God to come. So he offered it himself. And in 1 Samuel 18th chapter, David said in verse 7, the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? This is one of the saddest stories in the whole Bible to me. What might have been? He came to the place eventually where he actually thought that the Lord wanted him to go after David. He got so jealous of him. In the 23rd chapter, there was a bunch of people that came and told Saul where David was hiding, the Ziphites. And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion upon me." Envy, a lack of trust. That's what the root of envy is. It prohibits us from ever being able to have faith that God can bless our lives if we follow Him. We're always looking at other people. And we're always saying, they've got it better than I do. I wasn't blessed like that. I can't do what they can do. I can't be used like they can be used. And it short circuits the plan that God has for our lives every time. Let's go to James, the third chapter. The 13th verse. It says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." You can look at Saul in his life. He never could wait for the Lord to be the one to direct his life. He couldn't wait for Samuel to come to the sacrifice. He didn't think that it was the best thing to destroy the Amalekites. At the very last, I never read where he fasted and rent his clothes and just sought the Lord. You know, I feel like that if he would have just sought the Lord even near the end and just fell on his face and humbled himself and said, "I'm the man. I've taken my own way." You know, I feel like the Lord would have listened to that. But at the day before he died, he went to a witch because he couldn't get an answer anywhere else. He was always determined to make things happen his own way. And he did, and it cost him. David knew what might have been too. He made a lamentation and said, "How are the mighty fallen?" And I want to talk about David a little bit. David wanted reconciliation with Saul. Saul is one of the saddest stories in the Bible, but David is one of the most beautiful. In the scripture that we read a while ago in Psalm 16, in verse 5, this is when he was running from Saul. He had a horrible time. Saul tried to kill him. Saul threw a javelin at him. Saul spent time going and hunting for him in the wilderness. Psalm 16 and 5, it says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." Don't you think it would have been difficult to think thoughts like that when you're running from somebody and all you're trying to do is stay alive? But he had communion with the Lord. He was following the Lord. He was waiting on the Lord. He had already been anointed king, and it didn't matter to him how many years down the road that was going to take place. He knew that the Lord was going to work it out somehow. He knew that the things in his life were put there for a purpose. And that's how he always treated instances in his life. The time when Shimei cursed him, he said, the Lord told him to do that. The Lord told him, I think actually the translation should be read, perhaps, what if the Lord told him to curse me? What if the Lord told him to curse me? What if this is for my good? What if the Lord sent this as a blessing if I'll listen and if I will take this and let the Lord work some good out of it? David is one that could have had envy in his heart, and he never did. He had opportunity twice to take Saul's life, and he stopped the men that wanted to do it. And the only things he did on those instances were to take things for an opportunity to make reconciliation with the one that was trying to kill him. He recognized that Saul was the Lord's anointed, even though he was wicked. And he said, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places." Pleasant places. "I have a goodly heritage." He was telling the truth there. He wasn't saying something that was false, or just saying that, you know what, I have to bless the Lord. All right, what can I say to bless the Lord? He was thankful. He was glad of the things that God brought into his life. Another one I'd like to read about, the story of Joseph in Genesis 45. Was there ever a person in the Bible that had more of an opportunity to be envious? I think about this one too, and I ask, what might have been? You realize the implications, the potential of the world if he had succumbed to those temptations? You know he had temptations to have self-pity and envy. And he told his brothers in Genesis 45 and 5, he recognized what God did. He recognized, he said, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall never neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." And the brothers got to fearing again, and you know, they were talking to the most powerful man in Egypt after Pharaoh, and they came again to him after Jacob died. They thought, okay, now this is his chance. He's going to kill us all. And in Genesis 50, he told them, he said, "Fear not. Am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly to them. The place in life he had, he was in prison for years. It said it was 2 years even after he had the dream and told the dream to the baker and the butler. He could have gotten so bitter in there. But instead, he increased in the prison. Said that he became the keeper of the prison and trusted him with everything there. He was in charge with the care of the other prisoners because he let it be a good thing for him. He determined that he was going to make the best of everything the Lord put in his path, and he knew that somehow it was for a good purpose. And when he became the ruler, don't you think that when he saw his brothers come through that some of those old feelings came back? He could have put them as slaves. He could have done anything he wanted to do for revenge, but he didn't do it. Some people envy because of their place in life, But the Lord puts each one of us in the place that we're in for a purpose. No one else can short circuit the plan of God for us. Only we can. We are the only ones that can short circuit God's plan for us. If we fight and we kick against the things that God's put in our life, if we kick against the adversities and the disposition maybe that the Lord gave us, or the talents that He gave us or that He didn't give us, or the abilities or whatever. If we kick against those things, we might be short-circuiting God's blessing for our life, and we may never get it. That's what Joseph did in the prison, and David. They let those things shape them and bring them to a place that they never could have got to otherwise without those things in their life. Some people feel like that the Lord has given other people much more than they've given them. More talents, more money, more blessings, more spirituality. In Acts, no, it's not Acts, it's 1 Corinthians. There were two people in the Bible, Paul and Apollos. It said Apollos was a mighty man, an eloquent. He had all kinds of ability naturally. And you know, the Lord used that. But Paul, when he got up to speak, people talked about him and said his speech is contemptible. And it says, and this is what we need to get a hold of this morning. It's in 1 Corinthians 2, in the first verse. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came with not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And I want to jump down to the third chapter in the first verse. These people that he was talking to in 1 Corinthians, there at Corinth, they had some issues, and Paul was trying to deal with it. And said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." This series of scriptures right here kind of encompasses everything that we're talking about this morning. God gave the increase. God is the one that gives the increase. We don't have to worry about our own abilities. If the Lord calls us to do something for Him, if the Lord wants us to work for Him, if the Lord tells us, if the Lord puts us in a certain place in life, we know that it's God that gives the increase. God took that little boy and the five loaves and the two fishes, and it was something that was so insignificant, but all he did was say, here it is. I don't know if it, well, he didn't say, I don't know if it'll help or not. He gave it because he thought it would help. I guess, I don't know, one of the disciples, I guess, gave it to him. But one little boy offered his five little loaves and two fish, and it fed 5,000 men besides women and children. A lot of people. And that is how it is every time. If we stay back and we don't do anything and we don't follow the call of God because we believe that the Lord doesn't have anything for us, that we can't have victory here, that we can't have blessing in our life, that the Lord can't use us, we'll never get anywhere. And there are times that the Lord will use. Every one of us has a unique gift. Every one of us has value. And the Lord wants us to recognize that it's by His Spirit and that He gives the increase in our life. It doesn't have to be someone that's eloquent or someone that's smart or someone that's gifted or someone that's got a lot of money. Look at Paul. We're still reading what he wrote today. And people, he would preach, and he didn't worry about his speech that others said was contemptible. He would get up and preach for hours. He would go and he would work different places. And the Lord gave the increase. He didn't worry about it. Sometimes we tend to attach or ascribe more wisdom or more honor to someone that has greater natural ability. But that's not the way God looks at it. One scripture says, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That's not how God gets the glory. God gets the glory in our natural weakness by making us strong. Let's go to James, the first chapter. The ninth verse. It says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because of the, as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Isaiah talks about, Isaiah 40 is an entire prophecy. The whole thing is a prophecy of Jesus, of the Messiah. It said, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough place is plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. If we live, if we walk by faith and trust that God has put us in the place we're in for His glory, We can then prosper and we can be a blessing to others. Some people, think about the man in John, the ninth chapter. In the first verse, it says, Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. How many times does the Lord not get the glory that ought to be ascribed to him? Because we find another way, because we are envious of others because of what they got that we didn't, or what they didn't get that we did. And we kick against it. And we try, we complain about it. And we say, the Lord can't, we can't, I can never be like them, or I can never do this, or I can never do that. A lot of times when we get to feeling like that, you know, the Lord says that every valley shall be exalted. Every person, God has a place and a value for every person. And sometimes if we can't see that, we will try to create our own value. And it's a poor imitation of what God has for us. I was on a job in Georgia. Spent 5 months down there. And while I was down there, there was a job I was doing. And here come another man on the job. And all he could, oh, he was, he started doing a job, and it was something that I had done a lot of. I had done a lot of it, and I thought, you know, I know this. I know how to do it. I know how to do it quickly. Well, this guy said he could do it faster. And you know what kind of thoughts went through my mind when he said that? And all of us guys, we were kind of working together as a team there, and we said, We were starting. You know what? I don't think. No, he's not faster. Well, it's because of this. It's because he's got this tool. Or it's because. And we started making excuses. You know what? The Lord started talking to me about that, and thought, you know. And I thought, you know what? He might be better. He might be better at it. Why do I mind that? And you know what? He was better. He did it a lot better than I did. And so I went to him after I fought the devil. And I said, how do you do that? I want to learn too. And so he started showing me, and he taught me. I spent some time with him. And it increased my speed at that job by probably 20%. A lot of times the only way we can feel like we're worth something is to make the other guys look like they can't do anything, or that they're not worth anything. I don't know why it works like that, but sometimes we want to push others down so that we can be lifted up. We don't need to do that. The Lord has blessings for us. We don't need to envy others. We don't need to look over and see what they're doing and what the Lord's blessed them with. If we do, we need to be happy about it. If the Lord gave someone else a gift, thank the Lord. Yes. Thank the Lord. I'm glad. The Lord's blessed him. The Lord's blessed her. The Lord has blessings for every one of us. We can be in a place where the Lord can make our life full and rich. I'm not talking about in money. I think that's all the Lord's given me this morning. Please pray for me.